to the Film Fault. That's it. I'm Brian Bishop. Top five time for this week. Top five bad coaches. In honor of our own bad coach, Anderson, we're going to do our bad coaches as portrayed in film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a bad coach?
I wouldn't say I'm a good coach.
Well, there's only one other option.
With 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, AYSO, under six league, there's really not opportunity to be a great coach.
That's a good point. There's You're not drawing up plays.
There's not even practices. It's just two games a week. And in my head, I just hear this while I'm trying to do the herding of the cats. I just hear herding cats. Like it's on a loop. It's like a mantra in my head because that's what it is. Their favorite thing to do is kick the ball in. So the ball goes out of bounds. I'd say on average about every 30 seconds.
Oh, there's no throw-ins?
No, they don't throw in. They kick in at this age. And every time the ball goes out, even if it's clearly off of somebody's, you know, like one team's leg, both sides of the team, both teams will all be begging me or the ref or the other coach if they can kick it in. Every time. Like you'll have like 12 kids going, can I kick it in? It's not your ball. It's their ball. And no, you can't kick it in
again.
You cannot. Yeah. So a lot of that, but yeah, I got into it with one of the,
is there any referees?
Yeah. But a lot of the time the refs are so awful that they actually detract. And I've asked one ref to I said, you can go. Yeah. You can go do something else. And they left.
You're still going to get paid.
He wasn't paying attention. He wasn't blowing whistle. He didn't even have a whistle. He didn't know. He was asking.
Why the blow is you don't have?
He was asking me if it was in or out, whose team it was. And then when there was going to be a goal from the other team and it went off of his leg because he wasn't paying attention. That's when I asked our 11, 12 year old ref. I said, hey. And I was very nice about it. I'm like, hey, bud, I think you got something over there. You can go. I see you're distracted. You can totally go.
That's you being nice about it?
I was
really
nice. Hey,
bud, to see it over there?
No, because he kept looking over there. And I'm like, yeah, I can tell you got something going on. This game's almost over. I got it from here, buddy. Don't worry about it. Thanks for your help. He's like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. He ran off. He had no idea.
How friendly.
Kid sucked. Kid sucked bad. All right. But yeah, I'm not a good coach. I'm not a bad coach. I'm just kind of out there going, all right, red ball. Oh, when we played the blue team, that was uncomfortable. Blue ball. Oh, Jesus Christ. Every time I heard
blue ball.
One of the best things that's happened, though, so far is sometimes we don't have enough kids, right? Don't show up. So we got to.
So you got to step in?
We got to get a kid from the other team, and then they put their jersey on inside out.
Weak.
And we had this kid named Jameson, and he's like, I'm like, all right, Jameson's going to be on our team right now, guys. And Jameson's like, yeah, my name is Jameson, but you can call me Whiskey. I'm like, that's
I
swear to God.
Really? This kid's six?
Yeah. Five or six.
Wow.
So I said to the, I announced it to the whole team so the parents could hear. The parents all loved it. Good kid. Whiskey.
Now the parents don't love everything you do.
What's that?
The parents don't love everything you do.
Oh, well, they didn't love that I didn't tell them like where to be and what to be because I thought that the schedule
it's
would
really
have
the
been
first
administered,
duty of a coach.
Administered by the league. I didn't realize that.
I say it's the only duty of a coach.
Is telling
make
them
sure
the schedule.
But when and where to show up.
Really?
I mean, if not for that, well, you got nothing.
Is Tessa in any kind of, we're going to get to movies and coaches. I guess we're talking coaches.
Talking coaches.
Is she in any kind of organized?
No, I'd never allow her to do that. No.
Interesting.
Seriously though, did you have a quarrel with a parent?
Yeah, not one of my parents. My parents are all super chill, thank God.
Oh, how nice.
But no, I'll talk about my running with a coach on the afters after I do that behind the paywall because I don't want to get in trouble. I feel like I didn't say anything negative here, right?
I'll just give the parents a name and
I don't know his name. I called him Buckethead, though. I can tell you that.
You love Buckethead.
Atticus was calling him Buckethead, too.
You love Buckethead.
Yeah, but it was a different Buckethead.
Okay.
Brian. This was a bucket hat guy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
What color was the bucket hat? That identifying marks or features?
Like a camouflage.
Okay.
What am I doing? I'm giving way too much away. Come on, let's get out of here.
We're going to go over some bad coaches in film. Anderson, I don't know if it'll make you happy to hear or disappointed. I don't really give a shit, but I'm going to tell you, I was having trouble with this list. Mm. There's a lot of good coaches out
there. There's a lot of bad coaches out there.
A lot of bad coaches until, you have a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You all of a sudden something occurs to you and the door opens.
Yeah, that actually totally happened with me on this
Same.
One. All five of my picks are picks that I got without research. They just came to me and then I followed up with research and my five picks stuck because
really?
They were all worthy. Yeah.
Nice. Well, my breakthrough similarly came when I was thinking, I'm like, oh, that was that guy's an asshole. I mean, as a real life person, as a documentary. Documentary.
Oh, yeah, I left those all for you, buddy.
Well, good news, buddy. I picked it up. I picked it up where you left it. We got some documentaries on my list.
One of the first ones to occur to me was a documentary, and he's a monster. But it's not the spirit of what we're doing here.
I think it is.
Okay.
All right. I disagree.
Hey, look, the more movies, the better, right?
Indeed. We're going to spread it around, probably avoid If you have no documentaries on your list, do you have none?
I have zero documentaries.
Okay, well then we have no crossover then, because I got some clips. I'm excited to share with everyone from a film that is wildly underrated, mm-hmm. very fun, very funny, and I would say forgotten. Mm-hmm. Hmm?
I think I'm going to start taking feels on the show regularly because I feel really good right now. I'm not furious with it. It took about an hour for it to really.
This is great.
For me to get in my groove. You know what else I'm going to use? This is not an official read for feels. It's just my box showed up yesterday and I decided, hey, you know, it'd be fun to do some Beyond Feels during the Aftdisaster. Hockey is on right now, the hockey playoffs. And it's really hard to watch and enjoy. If you're a diehard hockey fan, it sucks because it's kind of like making movies. Like, I love putting the movies together. I love writing them. I love casting them for the shorts and the feature that I did. And I love shooting them. It's just nothing like it. But then once it's done, it's just dread. Like, mm-hmm. Showing them to audiences for the most part, it's just like you're only see the mistakes and you worry if people don't laugh at the right place. A lot of agony. Hockey, you finally get to the playoffs and it's just like, you can't enjoy it at all. It's just because it's just such a nail.
Everything is so high stakes.
They're up 4-1 a couple nights ago. And then next thing I know, it's 4-4. It's like, what the fuck? Can I never just have an easy one? And then my heart is just pounding. I'm going to start doing feels during the game because drinking's not cutting it. I can't drink.
That actually exacerbates things.
It does.
Yeah. Feels is a great idea. Actually, that is a good angle for feels. Like, take this during your most stressful sporting events.
Yes. I can tell you, I'm sitting back right now enjoying myself. So let's talk.
This is great. You should re-up before the Patreon episode. I'm afraid you're going to be enraged.
But you want me to dose again?
I want you to re-up, yeah. Maybe halfy.
Maybe do a little hack. I'm on the mint right now. This is all, again, I'm not even giving their promo code or anything, but we did it last week's show. Give feels a shot. And this is not an official read, but like Jordan's sitting here. Have we introduced Jordan?
Who's Jordan?
Jordan's our interim producer this week. Mm. Jordan,
our guest producer.
Welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Why do you hate Avery so much? That's the question.
Great guy.
Yeah. Wow! Shots fired.
Look at me. I just tried to rock the boat there. That was a dick move.
Am I totally making?
You know what it is? It was the feels.
Oh yeah,
feels made me want to do.
Did Jordan? Did you work on Groupers? Did you do something?
I was an extra in it, yeah.
Okay.
I forgot to even mention that. He's one of the students at the end of the film.
Oh, the lecture, yeah, when she's giving her dissertation or whatever?
Yeah. That was the toughest shoot of the entire entire movie.
Seemed the only controlled shoot.
Most expensive location. I don't want to get into it, but
really?
But yeah, the school, shooting on the school property was very, very pricey.
Really?
And
where was it? Like Northridge or something?
I had some crew member one that was being a real shithead that day, and he had an idea that I didn't want, and he just ignored me and tried to do it, and it just wasted all the fucking time. Wow. You were there. You were privy for some of that. And the thing that he ended up taking almost like 90% of our time to build, we never even used, but it just held up the entire production to the point where we were being kicked out. And I just said, we can't even set it up on sticks. Mickey, just throw it on top of a sandbag and just swivel back and forth. That's how we had to shoot the end of the fucking movie because everything just went to shit.
Well, if it makes me feel better, no one noticed. Unless I didn't.
And also my producer's like, we shouldn't have too many. I don't want to talk shit because I like my producer a lot, but he did say it. And I picture him saying it in this voice. We shouldn't have too many extras because they might get mad. I'm like, we're paying so much though. So he had me cancel like half of our extras. So we had like three people in the fucking audience.
It was a small class.
And it wasn't supposed to be. I had like 20 people lined up. He's like, and there's no place for them to park. We didn't pay for permits. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I mean, producers to think about that kind of stuff.
Now, it was brought to my attention by a listener. This is a little more.
How did you find Anderson on set?
Movie talking. I was stressed that day.
I saw him talking with Mickey like the entire time, I feel like. And he looked angry, but he seemed calm.
Yeah, because it was Mickey's guy that was causing my stress that day. But that was my most stressful part of the entire shoot.
And this is the first time hearing about it.
For like 14 days.
Is this on the director's commentary?
We had to do a company move, which is never fun. So we shot... It's where you're at one location, then you got to do the entire company has to move across town. That's a tough one. And it was stressful day. Day off. Yeah. Ooh. We shot stuff in the morning and then we went and shot stuff there in the afternoon. And I had all the extras and like Jordan and of the like that I was like communicating with. Cause I think I was communicating with some of you guys like, right. Personally. Anyways,
we'll talk about coaches.
Let's talk about, Dave Banfield, sent a email to contact at TFV. gmail.com. Okay. Contact Tia V at Gmail. Contact Tia V. And Avery sends me
Avery?
Me some every now and again. That
name sounds familiar, but I haven't thought about it in quite some time.
And Dave Manfield wrote that he saw Postal, which Brian and I both highly recommend. Very, very fun, small,
enjoyable
movie. Very enjoyable. And Dave Banfield watched it for whatever reason with the closed captions on, which some people do. I do it with films that are different dialect, like Australian films sometimes, having a hard time following along. British films, I did that with all of Small Axe. I watched it with closed captions, and it really helped me understand what was going on with the sucking teeth. God, I love that Small Axe. So good. Steve McQueen killing it. All right.
Generally, I find it distracting, especially if you already know the language, because especially when it's like timing for a line or it's comedic or something, like it really steps on it.
For
if
sure.
You can read it.
Yeah, I mean, we're a couple guys that have a hard time with the Stars logo popping up when we're watching a movie on Stars. I hate it too. But if I actually am to a place where I'm not picking up on the fast dialogue going back and forth because of the dialect or the accent, I think it definitely enhances it.
Anyway, so
especially when it's like creepy music playing in the background. I'm like, I can, you know, that's the closed caption. It's different than subtitles.
Yes, that is different.
So Dan Banfield was watching Postal with the closed captions on, and he noticed that REO Speedwagon, said REO Speedwagon song playing.
Okay.
And he noticed that it was not an REO Speedwagon playing at all. And he asked, his question was like, you know, what is the deal with that? Why would that be there? So it's one of a few different things. And this is not a whole lot of research. It's just me being in situations like this and also reading and hearing about things like this in the past. And that is, it could be just a fucking typo. I guess maybe it was something that was submitted because that was what they were hoping to get in there, and they just never did, and they never changed the closed captions.
I see. So it was in the script for REO Speedwagon.
Perhaps it was in the script.
Whatever, to come on.
Or perhaps they put it together before they secured the rights during deliverables or before the movie was even finished and had
there was a temp track.
That could be it. Because it's shocking, but no one goes through and actually quality checks these closed captions.
No, and speaking of quality check, don't rule out the possibility that it was just some idiot who thought it was REO Speedwagon when it was, I don't know, some other band.
I think what's more likely the case, though, is
Air
perhaps
supply.
It was and is REO Speedwagon for theatrical release or possibly physical media release. But when it comes to the internet, it's a whole different set of copyright issue. That's why we go with featured artists on this show, because you can't have it on, have, you know, signed without paying dues and whatnot. So that's probably the case. A great example of that is the Wonder Years, which a lot of us grew up with. They aren't allowed to use the actual theme
song. The opening song, the Joe Cocker cover.
It's different on Netflix. Now, they might have changed it since then. Maybe they got
that was iconic.
Rights.
That was the best part of the show.
Apparently it's different. So, but it got me thinking, it's a smaller segment of your audience, but if you don't want to pay that obscene rate for, say, like a Rolling Stones song or something.
Good example.
You could, I mean, there's some of the most example.
Yes, there's a good example.
Or some Beatles. You can just pepper your movie with nothing but Beatles and Rolling Stones, and the deaf community will think that it's all in there. You just put it in the closed captions.
So there's a long way to go for that hilarious joke.
It's a small segment, but you don't have to pay rights. You can just say, like, you know what I mean? Black sun. What is it? I see a
black hole sun.
No, I see. I want to paint it black.
Oh, paint it black is a Rolling Stones song.
Yeah.
Paint it black. I see a red door, and I want.
You can have it open your movie. Actually, that used to open a TV show that I used to watch about Vietnam. And the, what was that called? It was a good show.
While you think of it, I will point out that the disastrous film, The Mummy, the recent Mummy with Tom Cruise.
That's not recent. I guess it is.
Well, it's not the 1935 Mummy or whatever the fuck it is. That featured, the trailers were so fucking bad. And it featured that only that guitar riff from the Rolling Stones, like, that's all. It was throughout, just on a loop. It kept coming and going. And
really?
Because it was vaguely Middle Eastern. It was like, how fucking insulting is this? Like, you're getting a British band from 1965.
Hey, fuck that movie really hard. I have not seen, nor will I ever. Yeah.
Jordan, pull up the trailer for The Mummy. There we go. Now earn your nothing.
I saw something recently where like they had a song just playing throughout, and it was the same song, and they really leaned on it heavy. What was that? It was a movie I didn't like. All right, that's neither here nor there. Jordan,
do we want to hear one? Hopefully it's this one.
Just grab the whatever the trailer is.
What are we doing? All right, I'm going to talk, and we'll let that play. Maybe you people see or hear something.
Wait, here it comes.
I'm a Marvel fan now. I'm a big Marvel fan.
Why?
And this is, you know, this is me being dumb.
What is this?
I'm like, I can't take the distraction. It's unbelievable. I'll just talk to the, I'll just talk to outside.
You fucked up again.
You asked him to play a fucking trailer thinking, hoping that the same score from the movie would be in the trailer, which is rarely the case. Rarely the case, Brian. Do they use a score from the movie in the trailer? You'd think that they would.
Here it comes.
It's not going to come.
It's not coming.
So I have a lot of like preconceived notions, as many of us do. And, you know, I come in with hot
takes.
Look up
the mummy painted black. This is not going well. This is the mummy? Come on, see it now.
We may need a teaser trailer or something.
Yeah, I feel like I have a better trailer. Let's play all the versions of the movies, right?
I thought you guys liked your audience.
No. I like to test them sometimes.
Oof, the mummy trailer?
Oh, not the Brendan Fraser. All right, Anderson, come back. Do we even know where he is?
No.
All right, we'll cut all this out. It'd be fun to cut it all out, and then he looks unreasonable for storming out. Any luck?
Here's trailer number two.
Okay. There it is!
Whatever's in there. It's been safely hidden for 2,000 years. This isn't a tomb.
Okay, that's all.
It's a prison. Nick!
Anderson, good news, we found it.
Great.
Now, you were saying before you had to excuse yourself for personal reasons that you're a big Marvel fan.
It was fury. The personal reason was absolute and total anger. And the verge of a meltdown, despite my feels.
Now, you were saying that you... Jesus, oh my God. Christ. Imagine how it would have been without the feelings.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Now carry on.
I had to pee and I'm going to do that right now instead of just becoming enraged.
What has caused you to become a Marvel fan?
I want people to actually hear what I deal with.
What has caused you to become a Marvel fan?
See, I wanted to talk about me and talk about my own perception of things and really center on me. And you were listening to a bad music from a movie from 20 years ago. And that's all you wanted to do.
This is like 8 years ago.
And you were being aided in this by Jordan, which is infuriating. So, I come in with hot takes and I have opinions and I feel like I'm right when I say them a lot of the time, right? I know that I always know there's a chance that I'm way off, but a lot of the time, I'm not, right? And I, you know, but I'm willing to, you know, learn new things always, Brian. That's
fair,
and I think
very big. Ego.
I think most people just need to be open to new ideas and the fact that they were wrong. I think that I might have been very wrong about some of my preconceived notions about what Marvel's been doing.
Really?
Because I see certain things like the gay flag that she was wearing, that America's wearing in Doctor Strange, and I'm like, look at them calling attention to like how progressive they are.
I didn't even notice that. Sadly,
she has a couple moms. It's revealed, and it's like, oh, look at us. We chose two moms, and in talking to Jordan about it a little bit during the break, and then doing a little bit of research and. It got me thinking about China, like how, and my initial take, and I've always kind of thought this, was like, if they really believe in that shit, what they do is they put their foot down, Brian. Marvel and Disney will put their foot down and say, hey, no.
Hey, this is the movie.
This is the movie.
Love it or leave it.
And I'm always just assuming that they've been cutting shit.
You want Strange?
China and changing things for the sake of China.
You want Strange? We want change.
Oh, that's good.
It's good.
We won't change.
We won't change if you want Strange.
Because we want change. And yeah.
I was thinking like,
they're
not going to get China to change their ways, but yeah.
And that's China bad. Rebuttals with that. You've already had 8 years of Obama. That was all the change you get. That's terrible. Sorry. Turns out that Marvel's kind of been living and making these records happen without China for the most part. Yeah. I was shocked to see how many Marvel movies have never aired in China because of political differences and
I'm
censure.
Not aware of this.
They're not putting they're not saying, Hey,
here's a version that's palatable.
They're not doing that. Right. And evidently, and Jordan is witnessing, and he's suggesting that this is the way you've seen it for a while, right? They're thumbing their nose at Disney and China and saying, hey, we're not only we're not going to, we're going to put little things in there just to piss you off, just to aggravate you. And most recently in this, what I've learned, this is very cursory research, but it looks as though there's some kind of political statement being made with a news media outlet that I guess this is a big deal on little Twitter, where there's in a shot with Doctor Strange. Maybe this is the old one. Do you know, I think this is the new one. Is this the new one or the old one? There's a newspaper box, and it's all in Chinese writing. Mm-hmm. But it's from a news media outlet that is anti like the China People's Republic of China and your communism.
Well, it's like they've been outspoken, like, voice of the people, and
they put that in there as a fuck you to. So it did not get released. So if they're doing these things rather than doing it for the sake of ticking boxes, which I think is too often the case with these massive corporations who are trying to go, look at how much we care about the little duckling that's covered in our oil. No, you don't give a fuck.
Right. Well, because something like that doesn't benefit them in any way other than to say that, hey, fuck you. This is what we believe in.
But Marvel is actually putting their... But yeah, and they're putting things in there just to fuck. That's punk
rock. If that's true, that's pretty badass.
That's really badass. Yeah. I might be a Marvel fan. Now, I don't think it's worthy of, and I'm not going to spend, you know, because I have reading disabilities, like 45 minutes to an hour reading the email that's being sent by Giovanni and the like right now. I'm not going to read all of the email about all the punk rock things.
He's on page 11.
But it does give me a new appreciation for Marvel, and I thought that I couldn't have been more wrong about this. Couldn't have been more wrong.
Gio, include Jordan on these emails. Give out your personal email address.
You don't have to do that, Jordan.
Just forward it to me, please. I'll read it.
All right. That said, this gives me a new appreciation for Marvel. I'll do some more research and dig in, and I'm sure that I will hear from Gio. But Gio, let's have a conversation about it, because I don't read, okay? I don't read too good. I sit down to do work at my computer. I open my email, and then when there's like a nine-page fucking, or just even like nine paragraphs, I'm just like, I wasn't going to do this, and now I'm doing this, and now I'm late with everything else, all right? So I can't. I just can't.
I don't read either, but it's out of choice.
Okay, here we go.
Bad coaches, top five timers.
I would love to talk to Gio about it, though, like personally. Maybe Gio will hop on the phone or something to spend 10 minutes about what they've done to say fuck you to Disney and to China in particular. And Saudi Arabia. And, you know, okay.
Because that the one thing that doesn't add up to me is it sounds, okay, so Disney and Marvel, by extension, are publicly traded companies. They're like public companies, and they're beholden to their stockholders or shareholders or whatever, and board of directors, et cetera, et cetera. I can't believe they'd be okay with like, hey, we're going to make $400 million
Maybe they
less.
Are, though. Yeah, I understand. Maybe it could be like $1 billion. Overall, I would imagine that they have lost upwards of over $1 billion, if not more, because of these movies that did not get to show. The fact that they're still breaking these records without China, I had no idea. God, it's such a large subject, and I just now scratched the surface. But when you make that much money and you are the game, it's like, you can kind of call the shots a little bit.
I guess, but you're talking about the difference between 700 million and, I don't know, 1.2 billion. That's a big, that's not insignificant for a public company.
It's not every movie, but a lot of movies. Mm. I had
also,
it.
Also, I imagine it would be in Disney's best interest to lean into that sort of cause celeb, you know what I mean? Get the people on your side. Like, hey, fuck these guys. They represent something bad and we represent something good. I'm talking about from how Disney would spin this. Support our values or support, you know, America or whatever. It feels like they'd be leaning in more heavily.
Yeah, but the fact that they aren't also makes, that's what I hate is when they draw so much attention.
Oh, I see.
Look at us. So, but you're right. Something isn't adding up. I'll figure this out.
But I like where this is headed.
It's the Epoch Times and Falun Gang that is the newspaper that's there.
No.
And an aggressively negative op-ed accusing Hollywood of advertising the Epoch Times is also being bandied about. Interesting.
That's fun.
The film hasn't officially been rejected by Chinese censors yet, but Deadline reports that the Epoch Times scene attracted a lot of negative attention on Chinese social media. Meanwhile, the pro-CCP traditional... Oh, that's Cole Cockle Production. Oh, no, it's the...
It's the communists.
China. Mm. Yeah. Global Times has published an aggressively... Okay. Interesting.
Cole Cockle.
How is this not more talked about and more known?
That's... I'm hoping everything adds up, but that's where it seems like it kind of falls apart a little bit. But.
Well, I mean, I can't find it right now, but I read like a number of movies. I guess Endgame is the last one that got released in China.
No, they think Thanos won? Oh, no, that's Infinity War.
Endgame is the last one.
I thought, like, wouldn't it be funny if they didn't release Endgame? And there's one run along thing.
It's already been banned from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar, but I think they can get away with doing that. But China's a whole different ball of wax. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Endgame is the last movie that was released.
That's hard to believe.
Last Marvel movie that was released in China.
Even Spider-Man?
Wow. That's not necessarily Marvel. I think that's, and that's a, Jordan and I were talking about that too. That's a Chinese owned company, Sony, right? Yeah, so I think that they, point. I think they make sure that
there was no China score on box office mojo for Spider-Man either.
Spider-Man No Way Home was banned.
But that's a Japanese company, you fucking racist.
Sony is?
Yeah.
I thought it was owned by China now.
Oh, I found it as well. I don't know who owns it now.
Who knows?
You know, but yeah. Who knows anything?
I think China owns Sony.
Okay, you might be right.
Yeah, of course it's a Japanese. Well, I shouldn't say of course, but yes, it's a Japanese company. Okay, let's get into it.
Number five for me, by the way, my clips, Jordan, will be for a number four choice. So hold on to those. Number five, I lost a little bit of steam with this one, Anderson, because I was like, oh yeah, this guy sucks. But it turns out, it did, you know, he may have been a good coach. Talking about Andre Avery, the golf dad from Trophy Kids.
Yeah.
Trophy Kids, 2013 film directed by Christopher Bell. He of Bigger, Stronger, Faster. I could have gone with the, remember the weirdo religious tennis mom? She kept saying it's like it's God's will for her two long-haired, tow-headed Manhattan Beach kids to be tennis stars.
Yes, I do recall that. Yes.
But she was just kind of weirdo religious person. What I thought was the in over his head dad slash coach of a 9-year-old golf prodigy was somehow more sad. At one point, he does threaten to punch her in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
She's 9 years old, I should point out, and his daughter. And she's homeschooled, which is another fun twist.
So that's what, this is the one where he wanted like a female tiger.
Yes, he nicknamed her Tigress.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little much. It was, insisted upon itself. That said, I lost a little steam on this one, and it dropped all the way to number five because apparently his daughter, Amari Avery, is actually a very good golfer now. She is a freshman on the USC golf team and the number 3 ranked collegiate golfer. So maybe he did a couple things right.
Well, I guess we're defining bad coach in two different ways because he's 100% a bad coach. Even if he redeemed himself by the end of this documentary, I would still call him a bad coach. But you're saying he got the results, so there's a means to an end, well, so maybe he should be revealed.
I'll meet you halfway and say I'm suggesting that if you are one who would dismiss all of his wrongdoing, or what do I say wrongdoings? I would say...
intense ways is... questioning parenting.
What's the word?
We'll be here. Want me to use the bathroom again?
Proprietary. His very proprietary methods were like, you know, this is not the way. Well, I don't know if this is the way that a lot of other coaches would compose themselves.
So yeah, but it's not like he has the rights to them and no one else is allowed to use them and no one else does. A lot of parents use this. In fact, Buckethead was using these.
Oh, really? Okay, well, maybe not quite so proprietary, but that's it. You can dismiss all of that and say, well, they got the results. If you're a Machiavellian, you know, ends justify the means kind of person.
Just win, baby.
I'm not. I think maybe the relationship is strained between the dad and daughter. Yeah. How would I know? But
he gets to retire in Boca Raton now.
I suppose he could. Also, kind of King Richard. It's funny because I was thinking about King Richard during this, where it's like for every King Richard Williams, there's dozens, if not hundreds, maybe more, people who are trying to do the same thing and they just fail because they don't have the goods. Richard Williams was a good coach.
Yeah, we talked about that when I was reviewing King Richard. Mm-hmm. It was there's a lot of stories out there where this doesn't turn out well and we never hear about it, thankfully, because it's just sad and now there's no relationship and those kids are slinging fries somewhere.
Slanging.
All right, number five for me.
You look chill.
I'm very mellow, yeah. I'm going with a movie that I did not love at the time, but I bet if I were to go back and revisit The Waterboy, I'd probably like it. It was when I was holding every Adam Sandler Happy Madison project up to Billy Madison, which I thought was changed movies forever for me. I love that Billy Madison. I never seen anything like it. But, you know, it seemed like he kept going for that same vibe and he wasn't quite delivering. But if I were to go back, I mean, I'm a guy who likes Hubie Halloween. So I think that I probably, and watching the clips of Coach.
Shit just comes out of frame and knocks him on
cinder blocks.
Jordan, you seen Hubie Halloween?
I have not yet.
Oh, buddy.
Next Halloween.
I'm going to watch it. It's going to be a Halloween tradition. I'm going to watch out with Atticus again. This
traffic cones.
Just everything. It just keeps getting bigger and heavier and more deadly. So all right, so yeah, Coach Klein, played by Henry Winkler in The Waterboy, is a he manipulates a mentally challenged water boy to play reckless football for his own gains. He's also himself
mentally. Is this the Henry Winkler character? Yeah. Or is this the other character?
This is Henry Winkler, okay. The Coach Klein character, who is the water boy's coach. Ultimately, he's also got a spat of mental illness himself. Probably shouldn't be around kids, let alone coaching them in any degree. I would say that he's a bad coach, Coach Klein. And
so this is not results oriented, because Coach Klein ends up having a great season. So yeah,
that's
Bobby Boucher.
That's what I talked about moments ago, if you recall, Brian.
I do.
Is that we have two different definitions of bad coach, and sure, mine is probably it might have something to do with the fact that I recently did 9 hours of training on how to be an AYSO good coach for this age level in particular. 95% of that shit was beyond common sense, Brian.
Is there a course on how to be an AYSO bad coach?
9 hours. Yeah, so that's what
you should.
That's
not,
what was making you chuckle just now.
You said you took a course how to be a good coach. Do they have an alternate course?
How to be an appropriate coach. Okay. 9 hours of it, Brian. And I would say eight and a half, maybe 8 hours and 45 minutes of it is so asinine. It's like, don't touch children where their clothes cover. Or if you see another adult touching a child, you should probably report it, not talk to the child about it and tell him that he was doing something. Just absurd. You should always use positive reinforcement.
Well, while this seems obvious to you and me, we're going to get into some territory where maybe it wasn't so obvious to certain people.
They lost their jobs.
Later in my list.
Okay. All right. So number five is Coach Klein. Should not be around children.
I get those clips ready, New Avery, because my number four, very exciting. Speaking of which, directed by Dennis Dugan. Director of Happy Gilmore, early Adam Sandler success. Yes. I'm talking about a 2001 film criminally overlooked, Saving Silverman. You probably haven't seen Saving Silverman.
Saving Silverman.
Saving Silverman. Do you even remember what that is? Do you have any?
Sounds familiar.
No, look it up. Don't look it up. What do you think Saving Silverman's about?
It's not a documentary, or is it?
It is not a documentary.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know what this movie is. It's like, it has Steve Zahn in it.
Yeah!
There's a fucking ridiculous boat incident with a raccoon that was supposed to be hilarious, and it was just not.
I don't think there was a boat. He was the raccoon was under a house.
Fuck this movie.
Because he plays a extra.
There's a lot of paddling downstream, upstream, and like, oh, look, they're having a hard time. Saving Silverman, not good.
I don't remember any paddling.
They're in a canoe.
That I remember. That's what I do remember. And this is actually more along the lines of your criteria. By all means, a successful coach, but a bad coach.
What is the sport here?
Football. Head coach Norton, played by Arlie Ermey. This is a fucking fantastic comedic performance. It's really, really good. Arlie Ermey had the goods when it came to like being very funny. He wasn't given the chance to do it very often. He played the heavies mostly, as we know. That said, in Saving Silverman,
Arlie Ermey, just for those of you who might not know, is the drill instructor in Full Metal Jacket. You see that?
And then the
feels made me almost say Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Holy fuck.
And then there he was the police captain in Seven. Yeah, this is some heavy movies. This is not one of them.
No, but he's very, very funny.
He's very funny.
The comic relief in Full Metal Jacket.
The coach Norton ends up in jail for accidentally murdering a referee during a high school football game. He is so enraged at the referee's call that he grabs the sideline, the first down marker, and throws it like a javelin. Ugh. And wouldn't you know it, impales him and murders him. The referee. And so
that's what this movie felt like. It felt like a cheap imitation, poor man's like Happy Madison project.
So here's where Steve Zahn and Jack Black, we first see them visiting the coach in prison for some advice on how the reason it's called Saving Silverman. Jason Biggs is the de facto main character. He is Silverman, and he's dating Amanda Peet, and she's trying to change his life and get all his old friends out of there, and she's a real pain in the ass. They want to save him from this terrible relationship, and they go to the coach in prison, I should point out, for some advice.
Your clips.
What brings you boys up here today?
Well, Coach, we need your advice.
Okay, shoot.
Darren fell in love with this girl, Judith, and we kidnapped her.
Kill her.
Okay, just wait a minute. Let me finish. So we screwed up because now she knows who we are. So we can't let her go or she'll turn us in.
Is that it? Is that everything?
Yeah.
Kill her.
Well, we can't kill her.
Sure you can. You're wheat and warbirds. You can do anything you put your minds to.
Yeah, but coach, I mean, come on. We can't actually kill a person? I mean...
What is it that I always said?
If you can dream it, you can do it.
Exactly. You have the dream. All you have to do is turn it into reality.
Okay.
Attaboy! Now go home and snuff that bitch. Come on, move!
Thanks,
hut,
coach.
Hut, 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 hut!
We have three more of these clips?
We have two more. Sit back. We'll let you take your feels. This is later in the film. The coach gets out of prison, and once you know, he shows up to their house, and he's delighted to see them, but they're hiding a secret.
Get out of your clips.
Coach! Coach, what are you doing here? Retrial. Got a judge that's a sports fan.
Congrats.
What are you going to do now?
Well, that's why I'm here. Need a place to crash. Get my shit together. Figure out my next move. I know I can count on you boys.
Of course. Well, coach, our house is your house. You stay as long as you like.
Great. Where's the bathroom? I gotta take a dump.
We don't use the toilet anymore because we're cutting down on the water bill.
What the hell do you do?
Well, we just use the lawn now.
Smart thinking.
You've been pinching loaves on the lawn, man. I play croquet out there.
What are you, crazy? The coach can't stay here. We got a woman locked in a garage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Brad.
You boys got any TP?
No.
That's all right. I'll find something.
Brad, we're not that show. What are we doing here, Brad? Why are you doing this?
Jordan's enjoying this. Final clip. This is the last clip. The boys, they're adult men at this point, played by Jack Black and Steve Zahn. They attempt to get rid of the coach because they, as aforementioned, have a woman locked in the basement. And, well, here's how it goes.
Okay, we'll tell them we got ghosts.
Oh, boys, what's for supper?
Listen, coach.
We have ghosts.
What? We were thinking that maybe you staying here is not such a great idea.
Yeah. Nonsense. It'll give us a chance to get to know one another again. By the way, did you boys take care of that bitch that was going to marry Silverman?
Yeah. We snuffed that bitch, just like you said.
Good. How'd you do it?
We...
Ate her.
You ate her?
Yeah. We ate her.
Alive.
My hat goes off to you. You boys are smart. That's the perfect crime. Wonder what's on the tube.
No! Coach!
Get... What the hell we got here? Some kind of public access show or something?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's a kidnap victim, ain't it? You didn't kill her, did you?
No, coach.
Like
I am really disappointed in you boys. Now I want you to go out there and off that coos.
We can't, coach.
Oh, for Pete's sakes, look, she's getting out. Go chop her head off or something. There's no fight left in you boys. You're nutless. You've been pussified.
Don't worry about a thing, boys. I'll take care of that fraud.
He's a bad coach.
Well, so we just did like a sniff track, essentially. Like we're watching the dark.
I really enjoyed that.
Hey, Brian, a couple things.
Jordan,
couple,
you like that?
Couple things, buddy.
You ever heard of Saving Silverman?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it. That was...
You have to dive in now.
Don't put poor Jordan in the middle of this. Brian, you're missing the spirit of this entire...
It's a bad
topic.
Coach!
Nothing of those three clips, nearly 8 minutes of audio we heard, had anything to do with coaching other than he knows the boys from his coaching days.
Yeah,
there's no examples of coaching. He was doing live
fair.
Coaching
that's not fair,
as far as convict training.
You said it shouldn't be about the results. So the fact that he was a successful football coach has nothing to do with it.
If you're going to bring person. If you're going to bring multiple clips to the program that's titled the top five bad coaches, I would imagine that one of those clips would have coaching clips.
Well, unfortunately, I believe me, there's coaching clips, but they're very visual. You know what I mean?
They involve
him.
Think that
they involve him taking his quarterback and throwing him.
Right, so you don't bring clips in. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, those clips were right.
They weren't right at all for the nature
they
of the
show. They were great is what they were.
Number four for
enjoyable.
Me. I'm not going to waste any more time trying to make Brian understand a very obvious point. Number four for me is, this is a good one. We're going way back to 1983 here, kids. Coach Nickerson. In All the Right Moves, Brian. I don't think you've seen All the Right Moves.
I've not seen All the Right Moves.
All the Right Moves is a movie starring one Craig T. Nelson as Coach Nickerson and his little whippersnapper that he's always trying to deal with is Stefan Georgievic. played by Tom Cruise, who is a very young football-aged, high school football-aged Tom Cruise, who's very, very good, but he doesn't like the coach's ways. He doesn't like the way that the coach rides him or is negative in the locker room, and he calls him on it. And this coach, Coach Nickerson, played by Craig T. Nelson, goes out of his way to try and sabotage his college recruitment. He made him ride with the cheerleaders in the back of the bus at one point, Brian, just to demean him.
That's not bad. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I didn't quite
understand. I was going to say, that's a punishment?
And I remember seeing this when I was very young with my dad, like 8 or 9 years old, in the old theater over there. And I remember being turned on, which was uncomfortable, but there's a sex scene. I was privy to too many things at that age. There's a sex scene in particular in this movie that I remember going, I don't feel comfortable sitting next to my dad right now, but here I am. Here I am. But yeah, All the Right Moves. Not a bad movie. A movie that's kind of lost its time.
Should have realized the coach is a bad coach when he had a white guy starting at cornerback.
That's great, man. R-rated movie. Romance drama. Sports genre.
The only place you can see this is on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I know. You got to rent it for Apple.
$4.
Yeah.
Strange.
So that's All the Right Moves.
Exclusive rights.
Bad coach. Stereotypical bad. He'd always grab players by their face mask and whip them around.
I doubt very much is on your list, but there seems like a lot of crossover with Coach Kilmer from Varsity Blues.
Yeah. It's
not a good coach.
Coach Nickerson is my only football coach that I got. All right, let's move on. It's your number three. We gotta get on the horse here.
Number three. I don't have any clips. You should be very thankful for that.
I am, because God knows what they'd be. You're like, this is a clip of the credits. Hear the music playing over the credits at the end? Let's listen to it for a while.
I mean, we could ask Jordan to find a clip. I don't think it'd be wise, especially if you're listening in the car with maybe your kids or anyone sensitive, because number three for me is Ben Chapman, played by Alan Tudyk in 42.
Tudyk.
You might remember him as the racist manager.
I never watched 42,
bro. Oh, you are Lynn Luck.
Am I?
No, because it's a terrible movie.
I'm a lucky guy.
I don't like it at all. Directed by Brian Helgeland. Helgeland.
Might be a diamond in the rough.
Apparently, Chapman was a good player. He's a real-life player in the 1940s, I guess. He was a four-time All-Star. But in addition to being an unmitigated racist, the film clip or the film scene that he appears in is him hurling the N-word at Jackie Robinson from just mere feet away.
Right.
He's in the dugout and he's hurling
It was a different insults. Time, Brian. It was a different time.
It was. He was also a terrible manager in real life. His career record was 196 and 276.
That's less than 500.
That is way under 500. Yeah. Closer to 400 for old Mr. Ben Chapman there. But apparently this scene actually happened in real life or some pretty close to it. And I remember thinking how absurd it was. And turns out Ben Chapman was really racist. And when Jackie Robinson played the Phillies, for the first time in his career, old Ben Chapman there took to the field and was like, "Hey, N-word!" Like, it was a lot of that.
Yeah, and who's there to recount these, corroborate this story?
Well, I mean, it was in the newspaper.
It wasn't, so people could hear
this
it in the 1940, stands, like reporters.
42 or whatever.
So it was quiet at the field.
47.
I don't doubt it. I'm just wondering like where the actual information came from.
Apparently, it's funny. I did a little reading on this and. A year later, it was such a stain on Ben Chapman's sort of reputation or whatever that Major League Baseball, I guess, had him and Jackie Robinson do like a photo shoot together, and it was like really kind of humiliating for old Ben Chapman because he really didn't believe he belonged to the major leagues.
You're not the. Are you getting anything more to that? Are you going to tell me better? You're not the right person to talk to about this. I don't know. I mean, because I'm filled with hate. I hate lots of people.
Go on.
It's fucking individuals and the group thinkers. Yeah, they really, really bug me. But the idea of hating, I can't even wrap my mind around it. And I'm not on a stump here at all, but like I can't, I don't even hate, there's not even like any living thing that's all one thing that I fucking hate. Even mosquitoes, I don't hate them,
What about the Philadelphia Flyers?
I hate the group mentality that they think that they're good a team and that they should play. It's a rivalry. What are you talking about? That has nothing to do with anything. I can't imagine hating any. I just can't. It's so weird. It's so simple-minded for that dude.
Wait, you fly into a rage and you hate things all the time.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's kind of
I thought you were saying you're not capable of hatred.
I think, you know what? The hatred of racists in particular is so unnuanced It's just it's insulting, right? I hate that because of the shade. There's so many things to hate.
It doesn't take into account many factors.
There's so many factors that we should all be taking into account because there's so many beautiful subtleties and hatred. And the dumb racists, they just they're so obtuse about the entire thing. They're just eating cheeseburgers of hatred. And when there's so many beautiful, small flavors and whatnot to get into.
It's really mac and cheese of hatred.
It is. Yeah. I just can't. In all honesty, I cannot wrap my mind around being so stupid to just hate something because even if, and I know that there's all sorts of circumstances where perhaps you have history. I personally have been beat up as a minority many, many times over when I was a small child. Cause I was a minority at my school for a few years. And I got beat up. I didn't carry that with me.
White man's burden.
Maybe, I think I was probably a little more scared of black and Mexican kids for a while, but it never even dawned on me. I'm going to hate everyone.
Confessional.
All right. It's just so weird.
Although you ironically hit on why I find racism to be hilarious, because if you are that on nuance, like you said, to be so driven by one factor, it's like this is to the point of absurdity.
I get upset with you because you love to lean on it and it's just lazy on your part. And it's true. Especially when I know that for the most part, people that react negatively to it, they're just trying to be negative and trying to, hop on the bandwagon and make, but there are maybe 10% of people who actually are hurt or, it takes them back to a memory and they don't like to hear it because they heard it and it hurts. And if you're listening, giving us your time and listening to this program, I hate the idea of Brian says something that might fucking hurt you because of something stupid. I'm capable. I think you are.
Okay. So
that's where that comes from.
Great disagree. Right?
I hate you because you're bald. Yeah. I do hate all bald people.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. What's your number three?
Number three is, speaking of that.
Oh, no.
The guy that directed Audible and he also directed Confessions of a Superhero. He directed one that I've not seen called Meet the Hitlers. And he goes and he finds people that are actually named, still have the name Hitler and how it affects them and other names.
Oh, I feel like you've talked about this before.
I have not. I just recently was reading up on it in preparation for this episode, for the last episode. All right. Number three for me is Coach Stanson. Also known as Wolf in a little movie called D2. Coach Wolf, the Icelandic coach in D2, which I have
Mighty Ducks too.
An unhealthy love of this movie. I shouldn't say it's unhealthy, but I should not love this movie. D2, the Mighty Ducks 2 is nearly
it's not
as
worthy 19, of the love that you get.
1994. It's fucking great. I absolutely love it. And played by Carsten Norgaard, and he made his living, Brian, in the NHL. He had a cup of coffee there. I think he played 70 games or something. I think 72 is what they quoted him at, 72 games.
Over one season?
No, over an entire career. Sure. He only played 72. But he made his living as a goon, Brian.
An enforcer.
An enforcer. Yeah. And he could barely skate. He had no finesse. But, back in the day,
he could barely skate.
All you had to do was be able to beat the fuck out of somebody. Sure. And you could get for a while there, especially because of the aforementioned Flyers, my arch nemesis there, Brian. They won a couple cups by just beating the fuck out of the other team. It was a different era, different time, different league almost. But back then, if you could fight and you were willing to do anything, there could be a job for you in the big leagues. So that's what this guy, that's how he made his, Coach Wolf made his mark. And that's how he coaches his young players for the Team Iceland, who are going to play against beloved Mighty Ducks.
A little stunt casting.
No, it's not, because you're missing what I'm saying. I'm talking about his character in the movie Coach Wolf. I'm not talking about the actual guy.
No, he said that's how he coaches his players.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the character in the movie was in the NHL, not the actual actor.
Oh, Norgaard. The whole time I thought you said the actor played 72 games.
I might have mentioned his name and then leapt into his character. Gotcha. So that could be.
That's quite a background.
I'll take that. But yeah, that's the background. And if you recall, the first time they come into to meet him, they're out there just skating around, having a good time because Coach Bombay, he knows it's more about fun than anything else.
That's true.
And he's got a beach ball for him. He's like, it's our last practice. Let's have some fun. And they're knocking the beach ball around, and then the beach ball goes down the other end of the ice, and the whole Icelandic team is just standing there, and Coach Wolf picks up the beach ball and just deflates it, just smashes it. And then
it's not nice.
Yeah, that's where we first see the goon. All right.
Hey, a little teaser for everyone. Coming up after this, I'm going to have a little bonus Fleck Fashion. That's right, a film that I saw this week that I saved for this top five after this. We're back. Time for the Amazon notable purchases made through our banner that set it up, AndersonandBryan.com. You know what, Anderson? I've long enjoyed the Amazon. Oh, my God.
Sorry, Jordan's figuring it out. Feet to the fire. He's learning as he goes here.
He's doing a great job.
I do that all the time. I do that kind of thing.
That's true. I use the Amazon purchases as kind of a marker of where we are in time. Like, obviously, the textbooks, you know, it's time for back to school. People get the tax software, and, you know, it's tax time. People are getting their last-minute taxes done. When you see people, you know, clicking the banner to get, like, TurboTax or whatever. And you can always tell it's summertime because people are buying things like a Weber Spirit gas grill. Mm-hmm. Weather's getting warm. Mm-hmm. Got to start thinking about, I'm going to cook outside for the next few months.
I mean, occasionally you might, yes.
Yeah. So thank you to whoever
got it. I understood why people don't like to cook out in the winter, too. It's nice to cook out there when it's cold. It's fun.
It's fun for the
not
cooker.
Not when it's super cold.
It's fun for the cooker who's standing over the grill, and not for the, you know, for the milieu. You
bring the food
you know,
inside.
Yeah, everyone else is, you know, hanging out inside.
Still tastes the same. It still tastes very good.
That's 100% true, but I think we're saying the same thing.
What I like to do is get the fireplace going in the summertime and remind myself of Christmas time, and then I get the Weber going in the winter.
Yeah, you hang some stockings over the fireplace in the summer.
It is crazy.
It's a bold move.
As soon as you smell, outside, someone cooking outside, like usually it's like the first few weeks of spring you first smell it. Like, oh my God, it's here.
Yeah, there's wood being burned.
Yeah.
Or meat. Or
char,
both.
Yeah, meat.
Other things purchased.
Baskin.
On that Amazon banner. Look at that. The music was right there. Hey, new broom sweeps clean. By the way, someone bought a new broom on it. No, they didn't. Someone got a Modway Bestow mid-century performance velvet upholstered tufted sofa. That was the big purchase of the week. Almost $1,000 for that nice little sofa right there. GoPro Hero 10 waterproof action camera. Heelgen ergonomic gaming chair with massage lumbar support. iRelieve wireless therapeutic muzzle stimulator. You ever done the e-stim, the electric stimulator? Like, they put the electrodes on you, make your muscles kind of contract.
Yeah, I had to do that for physical therapy for
a back,
while.
Right?
Yeah. Not for my back. It was for my knee and quads.
It's freaky. Yeah. Really, like, they can turn it up really high.
I remember
high,
thinking that's how...
Revs or muscles.
That's how Bruce Lee died when I was a kid. I don't think that's true, but
I don't think that's true at all.
There was a fad in the 70s where, like, people were like, you don't have to work out. You just put these things on it does it for you. You don't have to do any work.
Yeah, because it contracts your muscles. Yeah. So it's as though you're lifting weights. Gift Garden floating shelves. Brother genuine super high yield toner cartridges. Frigidaire 2-door fridge and freezer. Shark Mop scrub and sanitize at the same time. How about that? 6 Fujifilm quick snap disposable cameras. I didn't realize they still made those. Blue Air Pure 211 Plus replacement filter. Power Up 4.0 smartphone controlled paper airplane cat. I'm going to write that down for Tessa. She loves making paper airplanes. They're not great, but, you know, she's 5 years old. Toppy HEPA air purifiers were picked up, as well as a pair of, I assume, Apple AirPods. Adobe Photoshop Elements 2022. California Delicious Ultimate Meat and Cheese Gift Crate. Delicious. Timberland Ledge waterproof hiking boots. Does this go to Lana? Is this just
Shishu?
Ivation air conditioner mounting bracket. Simple Human touch free liquid soap dispenser. Toreed spa filter replacement. Hey Dude, men's lace up loafers were picked up. Sunbeam luxurious heated throw blanket. IsoPure zero carb protein powder. Jegs 2-in-1 folding creeper and Z seat. It's a very handy device if you're working on a car or something. And finally, a copy of UFC Ultimate 175 Greatest Fights Volume 1 was purchased.
You nailed it.
I really did not.
Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I talked to you. Contact was clicked through, as well as A Very Long Engagement, which is a very odd choice because it's a very old movie. And it was good. It was all right. I remember expecting and hoping for more. Brad would be A Very Long Engagement. The Brave One was clicked through, as well as The Hurt Locker. Nell, holy shit, with the Nell, like a train to Nell was clicked through. So random. The Crow was clicked through, as well as Twister. Some random movies being clicked through. 1996's Twister, not to be confused with Crispin Glover was in one called Twister as well, which was just bizarre. Overboard was clicked through, as well as The Pirates of Penzance. Machete was clicked through. Death Wish. The Brady Bunch movie, Sucker Punch. That's what I wanted to do to Brian right after he assigned me fucking Sucker Punch. Brian. Cujo was clicked through, as well as The Rock. August, Osage County. Fuck to the Earth. Sleepaway Camp. Fuck to the Earth. The Imitation Game. Ah, you know what? I was thinking a lot about The Imitation Game and how I was wishing I was watching it as I watched Doctor Strange. But hey, you know what? Eat the Question. Frank Zappa in his own words. A Simple Favor. Groupers was clicked through. Fuck to the Earth. Thank you very much for that, guys. The Silence of the Lambs. X 2022 was clicked through, as well as Old Henry. Fuck to the Earth. Dog. Jack is Forever. The Worst Person in the World. The No Sudden Move. The Outfit. And Uncharted. All click through. And now, back to the program. That is impressive.
We're back. You know, we got Jordan sitting in the captain's chair over here, and ever since he sat in, music's been very aggressive. Very aggressive. Always the quiet ones.
Right. It's the band that Avery chose from our featured artist.
Set him up.
And it's been the same band the entire time that Jordan's been sitting here, so weird. Weird observation.
It's always the quiet ones.
I understand you want to make that connection, but it was.
I'm going to make it fit.
All right. You ready?
I am.
Let's do this.
Okay. Number two for me, I promised a bonus flick fashion because I was looking, I remembered, I'm like, oh yeah, there was that movie with Jerry Sandusky, Penn State coach, defrocked Penn State coach, you know, molested any number of children over the years. And I was like, what is that? I looked at my notes and it was like, yeah, that wasn't a very good movie. And he wasn't even hardly in it. And blah, blah, blah. It was the HBO movie directed by Barry Levinson. And I'm like, no, wait, there was a documentary or something. I remember seeing something. And I looked through my notes. And it turns out, sometimes, Anderson, things fall through the cracks. On my 2014 Sundance preview, movies I was most excited about that year, number two was a documentary called What was that?
My keys.
Okay. Sorry. Number two was a movie called Happy Valley, which I had not seen. I looked it up on the old Just Watch over there, streaming on Tubi. I thought, you know what? I'm going to fucking watch Happy Valley. 80 minutes, I'm going to dive right in. Happy Valley is a 2014 film directed by Amir Barlev. He directed a couple of documentaries we enjoyed, The Tillman Story, as well as My Kid Could Paint That. He also directed Happy Valley, which is a retelling of the drama that went down with Penn State and their program, and Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky, of course. 89% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is streaming on Tubi. You can watch it with ads, or you can rent it, I suppose, if you wanted to. Jerry Sandusky is my number two. He is the real-life defensive coordinator, linebackers coach, I guess, over the years. Anyway, he was at Penn State. We all kind of know what happened, but this does a really good job of recounting it. Turns out he was guilty on 45 counts of improprieties. And he's still alive today. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandusky's?
Sandusky is, yeah.
It was a good watch. It was
a solid watch. So,
you're kind of flick-fessing here. It's called Happy Texas, right?
Happy Valley. One of the great, Steve Zahn, Happy Texas. Yeah. One of the really fortunate landings they were able to land an interview with Jerry Sandusky's adopted son. And you're like, oh shit, this is not going to go well. But he insists, you know, he's a grown up now and he has kids of his own. And he insists like, oh no, no, Jerry never tried anything with me.
Maybe he had a little self-control then.
Maybe he
did. Kind of like Happiness, remember, like the day?
Yeah, he would. I cannot reply to that. I will tell you what's funny, though. So Tubi has ads, maybe like four or five ads throughout. It doesn't really take away from it too much. There was an actual ad for Penn State University.
That's
like
pretty
one
funny.
Of those, you know, recruiting ads. Like,
I wonder if that's
come
a mistake.
To Penn State University.
What'd you get on the mic?
Like, come to Penn State, you know, number one.
I wonder if that was an algorithm that put it there.
It must have.
Or
it must have been.
A mistake,
like,
or if it was
whoever's
purpose.
Watching this is really interested in going to Penn
Perhaps.
State.
Interesting. All right, number two for me.
I got a lot more to say.
Number two, you said enough. Number two, for I know that you put a lot of time into watching that movie, Brian, but here we are. I mean, you didn't flick fest it, so you don't get to, like, you know, do the
this. This is my bonus look fashion.
If you want to go ahead, I'll sit back and.
I really got nothing. Else.
Number two for me is Sensei Kreese in The Karate Kid.
You
I mean,
think
no,
he's
I have
a
to,
bad coach?
It, once again, Brian, we have two very different definitions of what a bad coach is.
You got results, yes. Man. His player, his
Miyagi is no cupcake
dominated
himself.
Dominated the All Valley tournament.
It's not what I'm going after, Brian. I'm not going after fucking like standing results and resorts on results on the actual match.
You're right, though, because by that standard, Sandusky's actually a pretty good coach. Linebacker, you,
Brian. When I did my little video with Atticus, where we went to some of the locations where the original Karate Kid was shot, and I got him in his little headband and stuff, it was a good time. I got to get more of those going. But I discussed it at the time with him that Miyagi wasn't a great coach himself either. He had a lot of child labor and he drunk around his students.
That's a good point.
Hammered, and
sloppy,
having them wax on and whack it off all the time. And there's some very inappropriate shit going on. But it's Sensei Kreese. He beat the fuck out of like all the
teenagers.
Cobra Kai. They're children. I'm talking about Miyagi over here. But no, Sensei Kreese is the my number two. And I don't even have to go on. Do I?
No,
he's a bad coach.
Archetypal bad coach.
It's funny, too, because, you know, Atticus is in karate, and we're talking about different methods. And they kind of have to, like, obviously, they have to talk, make it all about self-discipline and self-defense, mm-hmm. right? That's what they got. But I'm like, I wonder if there is a dojo. Obviously, in the world there are, mm-hmm. but I wonder if there's any dojo in this country that kind of flies under the radar, and their whole mission statement is aggression and offense rather than defense. And that's kind of what
take Sensei, it to your enemy.
Sensei Kreese is going after, right? It was all
that's
about
true.
Strike first,
strike
ask
first,
questions
strike
later.
Fast, yeah. It's like hard.
So, yeah, I don't think there are any left, like, because you can tell that, like, especially with my particular dojo with Atticus, the sensei, he's great, but he makes it all about beating the fuck out of the bully. Like, he wants to go there, like, but he can't, right? He can't.
He would like his kids to get stepped to.
He has to be, but he has to be careful the way that, you know, he packages his message and the dojo itself. But you can tell, like, if he was allowed to, like, no one was watching, like,
I
he
like
would just be teaching
actually.
These.
I don't mind
yeah,
this.
I like him. I
How much
him.
Are the lessons? Is it a monthly?
Oh, it's ridiculously cheap.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's like we did a 6-month thing, and it was like just over $600. And if you break it down, you can go 3-4 times a week. It's like $6 a lesson if you go every time.
So it's $100 a month for 6 months, but you can go as often as you want?
He can go as often as 4 times a week.
Shit.
Yeah. And he goes about 3.
It's like after school care.
It's not at all, but some parents.
No, I'm saying you could use it as after school care.
Oh, yeah.
No, after school care is much more expensive.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I know. And especially if you're late, like they do like $15 a minute or something.
Really?
The one that I was. Yeah.
Is Atticus part? Does he do like the STAR program?
No, the enrichment. No, not yet, but he will.
Yeah, Tessa's gonna do that too.
And I'm talking about like summer school and like preschool and all
that's
that
brutal.
Stuff. Yeah, brutal.
Fucking brutal. All right, number one for me.
Yeah.
You might be asking yourself, what could be worse than Jerry Sandusky? I fucking molested again. God knows, 45 counts guilty, and that's only the ones they decided to charge him with.
Well, there's gymnastics, and then there's gymnastics. Yeah.
At the Heart of Gold is number one for me. The great thing about At the Heart of Gold documentary about the U.S. Olympic abuse and specifically Nassar. He calls himself Nassar. Everyone calls him Nassar, but he says Nassar. Mm. So I'm going to say Nassar. Larry Nassar, I assume everyone is vaguely familiar with what Larry did. He was the trainer, team doctor.
Not a coach.
Not a coach. I thought about getting clever. It's like, well, he's part of the coaching staff.
Yeah,
but the great thing about At the Heart of Gold, a very solid documentary, is that it's you remember the dad who'd fucking charge the guy?
Yes.
Like, Judge, I'd like you to allow me to have 5 minutes alone with this guy in
How
a room.
How could you not? Yeah.
He's like, no, sir, you can't do it. All right, then I'll just do it myself. Fucking charges him in the courtroom.
I mean, I totally get that.
I totally get it too.
I absolutely understand that rage.
No, yeah.
Oh, the rage is real, Brian.
But the great thing about At the Heart of Gold, the documentary, is that it offers so many bad coaches who surrounded Larry Nassar, including John Gettert, at one point Cat Eber, who is a former gymnast under his tutelage. They say, who is John Gettert? Off camera, they prompt her. She goes, he's Satan. I would say he's the devil. He was a bad dude, super intimidating. He ran Twist Stars, which was, I guess, a Michigan-based gymnast school, or training academy, whatever you want to call it.
Twist Stars.
He was the 2012 Olympic team coach. And the good news, he was facing 24 charges that included human trafficking, criminal sexual conduct, and lying to a peace officer. The good news is he's dead. He killed himself facing all these charges.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So I don't mind when,
I mean, he was never brought to justice, so cannot judge, Brian. Maybe he was innocent.
Yeah, but the justice would be he'd be, what, rotting in a prison cell somewhere?
No, what I'm saying was he never got his day in court, so perhaps he would have come out the other end. I mean,
he would have been found not guilty.
Innocent before.
Oh, okay, guilty, so right. I'm glad in that case that he had decided to take justice right to the to the end.
Maybe
also,
he just wanted to go embrace the Lord early.
Indeed. So he's a bad dude. Oh. And also worth mentioning is Kathy Klages, I think it is. She was the head coach at MSU, also profiled in this documentary. She learned about the Larry Nassar abuses in 1997. If you can remember, it was many, many, many years later that it actually came to light.
Right.
She ignored an obscene number of complaints over many years, which begs the question, how fucking hard is it to find a trainer?
Yeah, that is a question.
Like, why are they all sticking their neck out so hard for this?
Did he have shit on them? Like, there's that side of it, but there's also this. Imagine that it was the city or the country or the world was at stake. Right, they had to win like gold, or else the world would go. Imagine it's the multiverse. The whole multiverse.
Okay, I'm with you.
Still, I can kind of see them turning a blind eye because, you know, if he was that good,
it's like,
maybe
there's going to be some broken eggs in the omelet.
It's like, you might not get a gold medal, or you might not get a podium.
He's the trainer.
I know.
I was like, are there not other orthopedic doctors?
I guess he had a magic touch. I'm not being crass here, and I'm not being crude. I guess he was good at what he did from my memory of watching and reading the stories and whatnot. He was very, very good. Well, but
maybe
until he was.
Because remember the main complaint that kept coming, I actually watched most of this documentary just this week. The main complaint that kept coming up over and over again was, yeah, it was like, oh, I'm going to try this, proprietary, radical new therapy where, you got a hip injury or you have a knee injury. I'm
going to
stick my fingers inside you and manipulate you from there.
Yeah.
Which was, again,
I mean, yeah.
Dicey?
I'm just saying, like, how high were the stakes? Were people just uncomfortable? Or was it just considered collateral damage? Or were kids just not that important back then? I don't understand it. I really, truly do not understand it.
It's not like the coach, who's the only one who can do what he or she does. The trainer.
Number one for me, Brian.
Trainer.
Not nearly as egregious or demonic or evil as yours. However, the catharsis is there for me, Brian.
Tell me.
Coach Roy Turner in the Bad News Bears, 1976.
Oh, is he the opposing coach?
Roy Turner. He's the coach of the little Yankees, played by Vic Morrow.
Forgot about that.
Vic Morrow.
Well, back when he had a head.
Brian, that's just not nice. It's just Jennifer Jason Leigh's dad, Vic Morrow, plays the father and the coach of the Yankees. They're considered, you know, they're the upper echelon, the finely tuned team, the polar opposite of the Bad News Bears. They are well coached. They have Denny's as a sponsor. They're respectful, and there is a scene where Vic Morrow, Coach Roy Turner's son, is on the mound. He's the pitcher, at which I absolutely identify with.
Oh, that's right. It was like a meltdown.
Because I was the pitcher of
Blood-Eyed Eagles.
Many, many teams. Oh. Not the Blood-Eyed. That was the bike gang that my dad tried to invent for me. No. God, my dad. My dad was the coach of many of my teams across all sports, even though I begged him not to be. Begged him.
It's not a good sign.
And I try to play play the cards that I had, which weren't many. I'd be like, Dad, okay, I'm just not going to play this season. I don't want to play. Don't enroll me if you're going to be the coach. And be like, okay, I'll just schedule like hard labor for you for like while we would be at at practice while we would be at games, you're just gonna be like digging trenches,
breaking rocks,
doing like backbreaking work. And it was hot in Thousand Oaks. Yeah. Like it was
that's really a summer sport.
So, yeah, I ended up having to say,
Need to compromise with Pops, or was like, all right, I'll play, but please don't coach?
No, he would not. He would not listen to it. Yeah. And actually, you know what? The few times that he didn't coach, it was actually worse because he was that guy in the stands.
In the stands.
Yelling.
He has no business.
Yelling at the coach.
He's the Clint Howard in Parenthood. No business out there on the field. Yeah. There's no business.
He was yelling at the coach, saying that the coach didn't know what he was doing. From the stands. My own coach was being screamed at by my dad. That was basketball. I'll never forget that.
That's troubling.
Oh, my fucking dad. All right. Anyways, love my dad. I love him. And he gets a bum rap on this, you know, on everything that But I love him. He was a great guy. He just had a very particular way. He had some personality disorders, I think. Anyways, reminded me so much of my dad and my own relationship when his son, back to Bad News Bears, throws a wild pitch after he's been told, instructed very clearly by his dad to throw low and outside. He throws it high, almost hits the kid's head. And Coach Turner acts as though that's what's really upsetting him. He could have killed that kid, but really he's upset because his son didn't do what he did. Much like my own dad, wanted to use his son as an avatar, I think, and wanted to, you know, play the sport through this kid. And so the kid gets his revenge. He gets struck on the mound and he's laying down.
Continuing the cycle.
He realized that Coach Turner realized that everyone's watching and he just hit his kid in the head. But if he's doing it in that situation, you know he's doing it at home a lot.
That's a good point.
And then one thing leads to another and the kid gets the ball and doesn't go. And his whole team is trying to get the ball from him. It's a very, very poignant, cathartic scene for me. And it shows just how bad. I think it's a very realistic look at a bad kid's coach.
Jordan, how's your relationship with your dad?
Fantastic.
Really?
I don't even know he's alone.
I don't. Oh, I was waiting for
a dicey question.
That could have been a different answer. Yeah.
He did bring up his dad earlier, but.
I don't remember that.
He talked about his dad. I'm on drugs right now. What was it? You brought up your dad, and I was thinking about sound mixing.
That's right.
Yes, at a satellite facility.
The post house.
Yeah. All right. So that's my number 5 through 1.
Well done,
Jordan. Will you have number one here if you were tasked with having a bad coach off the top of your head? Not to do that to you, but I just did.
Well,
darn.
I have to say no.
All right.
Well done. Good. Less is more. Do we have a listener list?
We do. Jordan, I think I sent you Jordan's list, but I got it right here. It's simple enough. Not sure if Avery is going to be. All right. So here we go. Number 5 is Coach Carr from Mean Girls. Hey, I didn't see that. That didn't even show up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's good. Good one. That's the way he's doing a sex education. Yeah. He's like, all right, now grab a bunch of rubbers.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
Hey, listeners. I love that. I love it. Coach O'Halloran from Dodgeball. I thought for sure that would be on your...
He's a good coach.
That was actually on your original list.
It might have been.
We didn't do the original list. Number 3 is John Kreese from Karate Kid.
Yes, familiar.
Number 2 is Coach Kilmer from Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
Number 1 is Coach Klein from Waterboy. I did not see that coming with 15% of the overall vote. Almost 4-1 or 1-4
for the
top 5.
Have you not seen Varsity Blues?
Yeah, I saw Varsity Blues.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, good to know.
I saw it. I saw that one. It's the one with the football and the kid.
Let's say it is with both those things.
Their uniforms are blue, I recall.
They are blue. Yeah. Yes, it's Texas high school football.
It's the varsity team, right? It was the varsity team.
Dawson's Creek Stars.
Yes, I did see it, actually. Because we had the one kid on Loveline. He's no longer with us, but get two chicks in the same bed. Do them. Yeah. That's a clip drop that I use quite a bit.
Is that our gambling? I don't want to look at that.
It's our gambling from last week.
Oh, from last week? Yeah, okay, I can't say it anyway. Yeah. So.
All right, here we go. You ready? Let's. Oh, wait.
What?
Oh, yeah, our list. We should just go over and put coaches to bed, all right? Okay. So my list, way back in the day when we did top 5 coaches, number 5 for me was Denzel Washington's Melvin B. Tolson in Great Debaters. Wow, this is an old list. Jeff Bridges as Captain Christopher Skipper Sheldon in White Squall. Oh, I was really trying to get clever and cute there. He was a bit of a coach, but he's a coach.
Well, because you're a coach. Clever.
But Jesus. Paul Newman as Fast Eddie in The Color of Money. Oh, Jesus Christ. What am I doing? Number 2 is Joe Pesci as Joey LaMotta in Raging Bull. Ah, your mother's... Okay. Goldie Hawn as Molly McGrath in Wildcats. Fuck the ass. Stand behind my number 1. Fuck the yes. And Brian's list is not important. Okay, let's do some gambling and get out of here.
All right.
You had Miyagi as number 1.
the hit list wasn't important.
Somebody from Murder Ball. Oh, look at you going with documentaries back then, too. You had Finstock as Teen Wolf.
Finstock was great.
Brian. And then Rip Torn, Hank Azaria as Patches O'Halloran in Dodgeball.
Patches O'Houlihan.
O'Houlihan.
And, of course, Morris Buttermaker in there at number four.
All right, let's do this.
Well, let's gamble.
Let's do it.
I'm on a fucking terrible streak.
You really are. It's like seven or eight.
It's really bad.
I don't know what we're gambling on, though. The
well, let's recap. Let's recap last week.
So last week, you guys gambled on Doctor Strange 2. Anderson, you said 86. Brian, you said 90.
Oh, that was foolish.
The score today is 75.
God Anderson. Damn it.
Yeah, I think I've won like 6-7 weeks in a row. I don't know. Mike Cole probably knows, right? You could probably look immediately how many weeks it's been.
I'm on the document right now.
All right, I'm sending you and I, Brian. I'm assigning both of us a movie, so that's usually a nice thing to do, right?
I'm out.
It's for the good of the show, and the movie that you will be watching. Ah, oh, Jesus Christ! You know what son of a. All right, we're gonna do a couple assignments right here. Okay, this is my own fault. I'm failing. As a quasi-producer here, because we owe movies to listeners. And we're going to be doing, this is for the listener, Danny Leffler.
Oof.
I will know how to pronounce her name once I talk to her, which I will be doing on Monday. We're going to be watching an old film called Society, Brian.
I'm out.
Which is pretty hard to watch. We're watching apparently.
Great.
Society will be watched by you and by me
for
listener Danny Leffler. And I will be like I said, I'll be talking to her about her pick, Society.
This
we will be.
Oh dear.
Yes, we'll be watching that. What 1986?
I have 89.
Here. 89. Okay. So, Society for everybody. If you like to follow along, Danny tells me she said that it would be a very. Oh God, I'm bad at my job.
Do I have
she to said that it would be a very good one to watch as a horror film as well for the first time as our part of our TFV listener party, which we're going to be starting to do later this month. I got the technology. I just got to do some tests. And it looks like, for those of you who might not be in the know, we've added a tier. It's officially a new tier. It's $10 a month. So if up from the $5, if you want to go up to the $10 bucks a month, we are putting more work into the show, getting together more often to do more fun stuff for you guys. And hopefully we can make it work financially so that it actually is not just us wasting our time. Last I checked, we had some few people. So thank you very much for the few people who've signed up early on. What it is once a month, we're going to be watching a horror film that this is the initial idea. We're going to be watching horror movies for the most part that we had not seen before that are filled with things that we probably normally wouldn't want to watch by ourselves, let alone with each other.
I'm in.
We're going to be reacting to it, and we're going to be watching with a live audience via Twitch, which will be given the private link to anyone who's a part of the Patreon level. And then it's also going to be recorded and made available to you on the back end if you would like to watch it at your convenience, along with you can watch the movie while you watch it with us fools as we talk. So far, I gave you guys three movies to choose from, to vote on, and it looks like the original Hills Have Eyes is kind of the winner last I checked.
Fun.
But we still have another couple weeks to vote, but it looks like the first one will probably be The Hills Have Eyes. Okay. Now, as far as what you're going to be watching, Brian, and I'm going to be watching
Society,
a movie called The Boiling Point.
The Boiling Point. Yeah, that's about Vin Diesel and Giovanni Ribisi selling stocks.
No, that's Boiler Room, right? Okay. The Boiling Point is with Stephen Graham, who I absolutely love. And it is this movie that's being touted as unbelievable.
He's a chef.
And one take and thrilling and unbelievable. So I've been wanting to get to this one for a while. I don't want to see it and then be like, oh, Brian, you should also see this. And then you talk about it a few weeks later.
I don't want to do that either.
So it's just Boiling Point. It's not The Boiling Point.
Boiling Point.
Directed by Philip Barantini. And it's available on Hoopla as well as Tubi, I believe, and a few other things.
All right. Yes. All right. Love it. I'll be texting you later for what the assignments were, but that's good to know.
All right, let's get out of here.
No, we got to gamble.
What are we gambling on?
You could gamble on a movie called Firestarter.
Oh, yeah, they're remaking Firestarter. Can you believe that? Jesus Christ.
Zac Efron?
I don't think the original one is very good. With Drew Barrymore?
Hey, with Drew Barrymore and George C.
Scott.
Scott. Yeah, it was not great, but it was funny, and I still think about it all the time.
Well, let's do that. That's
like he had to like look in her. He didn't even have any proof. He just thought that maybe he could get her power if he looked her right in the eye as he killed her and shut her bones up into her nose bones up into her brain and killed her. while staring her in the eye. That was his plan. He's like, I need this
poorly thought out.
She can start fires with her mind. I want that power. And the only way I can get it is if I kill her while staring at her. And like, how did he came to that conclusion? I mean, I used to watch that as a kid all the time. How did he come to that conclusion? That's how he would get her powers.
Is there an ancient prophecy?
I don't know. I don't remember there being any kind of backstory on that.
All right. Mike Cole's a couple of weeks behind on the gambling stats, but I've lost at least five in a row.
Okay. I like this. This way the listener wins, I win, everyone wins, right?
All right. It all turns around right here.
Boiling point. Here we go. What are we? Let's gamble on Firestarter.
Boiling point.
Firestarter. Yeah.
Do we know Firestarter.
Do you know anything about this? Who's the director?
No, you don't get to cheat like that, Brad.
The director is Keith Thomas.
I knew it.
I don't recognize anything else he's done. A movie called The Vigil, 2019.
Mm. That's a good sign.
It's kind of the opposite of that. It's not a good sign. Stop doing that with your hand. I don't like it.
I'm very nervous. I don't want to lose again.
I'm ready when you are. Oh, stop looking. I can see your reflection in your glasses, Brian. Stop looking at Rotten Tomatoes.
It's my Gmail right there.
There's a lot of red things on that.
There's a lot of red things.
There are.
Those are all clips. Clips!
And
Silverin.
Just let the record show that right before Brian showed me his computer, after I yelled at him not to do that, he pushed three buttons before he showed me. What was that about?
How do you know it was three?
Because I saw one, two, three. I saw your hands.
Okay. I got a
number. You just did the three again.
Got a number.
So do I. On three. One, two, 43.
58.
43? Yeah.
Shit. That's the worst thing about losing to Anderson like this is we're close and he just ends up on the right side of the number.
Not that close. 58-43. That's almost a blowout in football.
Pretty close.
At the time of the recording, the Rotten Tomato score for Firestarter is nothing with no reviews.
Sweet.
It's a good sign.
Sweet. Can only go up.
We should point out it's Monday.
Can only go up. So that's good for you.
Well, it could definitely be lateral.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's get out of here and start playing some music.
I don't feel good about this. I feel sick.
I'm sorry, buddy. Hey, I'll have another good movie. You know what? I almost signed you Eyes Wide Shut. Imagine that. You could have closed part of that circle had I done that. Maybe I'll do that next week.
You have a lot of opportunities.
I got Malignant. You still haven't seen last year's Malignant, which was a lot of fun. Maybe I'll bring that back to the program. That's been pointed out that it's available on HBO Max. Malignant, one of my favorite movies from last year. God, Malignant was dead. Bri.
I'm looking at Neil Orange Peel's artwork.
Uh-huh.
Why Abercrombie and Bitch?
Oh yeah.
You
like that picture, right?
I really like that picture.
It's
flattering.
I like it. Thanks for doing the call that we asked for just last week, Orange Peel. We still need to see Brian and more Abercrombie and Fitch.
Or not.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of clothes on me.
I know. That's the problem.
Thanks, Neil. Great as always. Thank you to Barricades. You can see Neil's art or Barricades music over at AndersonandBryan.com. There is a new Patreon episode out, the spoiler edition for Doctor Strange 2. So check that out. It's available to everyone at the $5 a month level and up. So check that out. Enjoy if you dare. The Amazon banner is at AndersonandBryan.com as well. You guys are, I say it every week, but you guys are seriously doing an awesome job of tapping that shit before you shop. So thank you for your continued support. AndersonandBryan.com is the website. Anderson and Bryan is the Instagram handle. The Film Vault's on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, Giovanni, Jordan Wolf, Mitch Burns, and Mike Cole for keeping the show rolling. Thank you to Jordan Montgomery for sitting in.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast, and it means a lot.
It's a lot of fun, man. I'm sorry you had to drive so far, but hopefully you enjoyed.
Loved it.
You're great as always. Fuck Avery, and until next time.
You can check out Avery on Invade the Decade. Look for a link to that show, as well as many other things in the show notes that we put there every week in, week out. And until next time, we do it for Van Gogh.